Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. What I say now has nothing to do with gun control. I want you to understand that. But the facts are the facts, and there have been 344 shootings in which four or more people have been shot. Now, I do not blame the guns for these things. They certainly didn't get up and shoot the people. And I would propose to you that even if there were no guns in America and there were guns not even invented, that there'd still be incredible atrocities committed by man against other men. It is my own personal thought that if there were guns in the hands of good people, that bad people wouldn't be able to shoot as many. But I do believe that we are living in a day in our country where all these things are coming together. And as we have walked away from God in so many areas, from our schools, we've allowed our schools to become places that are devoid of God. And our government thinks that it's okay for them to tell children that they can't write essays about God, about Jesus, and about who He is, where teachers are allowed to fail their students because they have faith in the true and living God, and they have the audacity to proclaim and to speak about these things and to write about them in their schoolwork. We see the Ten Commandments being ripped apart and ripped away from the very places in which the Ten Commandments most certainly need to be, whether in our courts or in our schools or any other town hall or public place. And we see Christians who have gotten so fat on their food and clothes and electronics that they see very little need to pray. We have a president who's willing to overlook the incredible evils of religions that have from its very beginnings been religions of war and not of peace, and belittle those who desperately want peace and want peace with all men. We live in a country where there are many who think there is no God and that we're fools for praying to Him. And I was telling the folks in Sunday school that there's even newspapers that are proclaiming that it's wrong for Christians to pray, and a ridiculous thing for a Christian to say that they're praying for the people of San Bernardino. The truth is, we see in our country a lack of peace, not only outside of our borders and places where we're at war against those who would seek to terrorize us, but we live in a country where there's very little peace in communities today, in a place where there's very little peace in most homes around America. There's no doubt that there is a rise and increase of violence within homes, within schools, between friends, and between neighbors. People are very quick to flip the bird on the highways. And road rage is certainly something that we all know about. Peace is the lack of these things. And so as we see these things happening around our land, and yes, even in our own homes, and then we see a passage that we quote every Christmas, we either have to say that God doesn't know what he's doing, he doesn't know what he's saying, that God is full of it. Or we have to understand something else about God, who is not going to let his name be dragged through the mud and continue to give what we so desperately need as a country, as a community, and in our homes, if we do not turn back to him. What's going on in our land as we've had several of these shootings, just going back into the very beginnings of the summer, we've seen these things happen over and over and over again in a number that our country hasn't seen in a very long time. And so the question becomes, why is this happening and what are we going to do about it as God's people? And I believe there is a solution. And it's the very same thing that God has called on people to do every time He's pulled away His hand of peace. Whether in our country or countries around the world, whenever a people began, who started off well and said, we're going to honor God not only with our lips but with our lives. When that land begins to remove God from their lives, God begins to remove His hand from theirs. And I want you to know, and I want you to understand, may God help us to understand this. There is a great war going on in the realm of the spirit realm, for the hearts and minds of people. And the devil wants to destroy things. And one of his great goals, is to have there be war in every place. He wants there to be war between nations, and he wants there to be war between moms and dads. And we are living in a day and age where this is most certainly happening, not just in wars between countries, but wars in the home, where there is very little peace. You know, many homes would say they're at peace, but it's because mom is in one room and dad is in the other. I want you to know that's no peace. That is a fake and false peace. God is not looking for us to have that type of peace. You go your way, I'll go mine. As long as we don't come together, we'll be happy, and so let's just not come together. This is not God's design. But when there is little of God in the home, we are allowing and giving precedence to the devil to come in and make war and to cause war. Where God does not allow these things don't happen. And I want you to believe these things, brethren, that if there is a lack of peace in any area of your life, we have a God who wants there to be peace. And if only He were allowed there, He would bring it. If it was only our desire for Him to bring peace, He would come and He would bring it. And it is an emphasis in Scripture that God give us peace. In every single one of Paul's epistles, except for the epistle to the Hebrews, which is a different type of epistle, and I'm not even sure we could call it an epistle as much as a book written for the exhortation of Christians. But in every place where Paul addresses a people, he says this, grace and peace unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did he say that? Because it's a nice thing to put at the beginning of your letter? No, because it's the very thing that we so desperately need, but it is the first thing that we'll see go when God is removed. It is the first thing that will go when God is removed. May God put within us a great understanding of peace and an incredible desire to have that. Because I want you to listen to this statement, because I believe it's true with all my heart. Where there is no peace, there will be no happiness. You cannot be happy and be at war. You cannot be happy and be at war. And so if you notice there in Luke chapter 2, we know what's going on here. The shepherds have been shepherding their sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ has been born of the Virgin Mary. The angels come and they light up the sky for the shepherds. There's another message there that we don't have time to get into, but that the angels came to the shepherds is an incredible thing. They light up the sky to the shepherds. The great angel cries out that the birth of Jesus has come. And then the angels declare to the world, not just to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. As we look at our world today, there's very little goodwill towards one another. For whatever reason, as the devil has come in, one of the things that he will bring to the hearts and minds of people is don't have any goodwill towards anybody else. You know one of the reasons why we don't have goodwill towards others? Is because we believe if we give any goodwill to someone else, that makes them better than us. You know what Jesus did when he came to this earth to be born in a manger? He humbled himself. The God of all creation, who made all things for His glory, said that the people down there are more important to me than my reputation. They're more important to me than my reputation. And so He humbled Himself and became a man so that He could die on the cross for our sin. And so we have no goodwill towards others because we believe any goodwill that we show will give that person the impression they're better than us. And who do we want to be better than us? When if we had the thought and mind of God, we would understand that there is no one better than God. And who are we to lift ourselves above anybody? Who am I to lift myself up above anybody? We live in a world where children won't even thank the adults that do something for them. They will not even, it doesn't even enter into their mind to say thank you. Why? Because children grow up with a rebellious spirit. That rebellious spirit says, I'm better than mom and dad. I'm better than the adults in my class. I'm better than my teachers. When your children come home, and they talk bad about your teacher, their teachers. They talk bad about them. They whine and cry about their teachers. Rather than patting them on the back and saying, you're right, your teacher's really bad. Why don't you say, hey, kid, the job of that teacher is to teach you, not to coddle you. And that person's there to help you. And if you're willing to be helped, they will. And guess what? They know more than you. And if you don't behave in their class, they should do what they did. And if there's something you don't know, why don't you go and ask him to help you? No, I can't do that. Why? Because that'll admit I don't know something. Well, that's dumb. Of course you don't know something. That's why you're going to school. You know, I will and Sue, I don't know how many apples you get or niceties you get from your children, your students, but I'm sure it's not as much as it once was. Very little thanksgiving in our world today. Why? Where is the goodwill towards men? Where is the peace from God? Did God fail? Was God wrong? No. No, God was not wrong. Because everywhere God is, there is peace. And we can be at peace even when the world around us is at war. We can be at peace even when the world around us is at war. Even when somebody wants to make war with us, we can be at peace with them if we have peace with God. And that is the most important thing, that we have peace with God. When God said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, He was speaking first and primarily that He brought the way of peace into the world. Jesus Christ is the way to peace between us and God. Now, there's no peace between us and God, not because of God, but because of us. I want you to notice in Romans chapter 3, I'd like to go through these verses and give an understanding of peace that God so desperately wants us to have, peace that we can have through Him, and the understanding that, brethren, if we are sons and daughters of God, we have every right to peace. And we have everything we need for peace. We can have peace. And where we don't have it, God is saying, hey, listen, I'm here. Come to me and I can give you peace. Come to me and I can give you peace. Listen, when I say there can be peace in homes, I am not saying that there is always peace in my home. That would be a lie for me to get up here and say that we always have peace, but I praise God for the incredible peace we have in our home that should not be there, especially in the day in which we live. We should not have peace. My wife and I should not ever hold hands. My wife had to grab something from the car. She was walking this way during the greeting. We were able to hold hands. She took my hand and held it. I gave her a little kiss on the hand. And she didn't look at me and think, I'm just going to go through the motions and I'm going to let him take my hand and give me a kiss. She held my hand because we're at peace. Now, is this always the case? No. I praise the Lord for the peace that I have with my children. Is it always the case? No. But whenever there's a lack of peace, we have a God of peace, who if we come to Him, will show us the way, if we let Him. But the truth is, from the very onset of our life, we were not people of peace. If you think about your life as a child, you were not a child looking for peace. You were looking for what you could get. Why did you do things your mom and dad told you to do? If you weren't saved, maybe it was because Santa Claus was coming to town. I remember we'd get these little worksheets and you'd put candy canes on it. And every time I'd clean my room, I'd get a candy cane. And if I got enough candy canes, that meant Santa Claus was going to come and I wasn't on the naughty list, right? I remember that. Why'd I do it? But to get a candy cane. Because I knew if I had enough candy canes, I'd get something under the tree. And there was a reward system, and the psychologist would tell us, make sure you reward good. And we should. But here's the thing. Without Christ, the only reason we go after peace is for what we can get. But we have a God of peace who wants to give us peace in our home. He wants us to have peace with our neighbors. He wants us to have peace with our coworkers. And first and foremost, He wants us to have peace with Him. In Romans 3:17, this is what is true about every person born into the world. This is true of me, and it is true of you, and it is who we are without Christ. The Bible says in verse 17, and the way of peace have they not known. What does that mean? That means that we don't look for peace. We look for war if the person who's in our way doesn't get out. You see, it's not peace. It is not peace if the person who's in your way gets out of the way and you get what you want. That's not peace. That's winning the war by intimidation. Many people win the war by intimidation. Often in homes, that's the way it is. I get what I want because I'm the loudest. I get what I want because I will yell at you if you don't give it to me. That's not peace. Even if the other person gives you what you want and you don't yell, what peace is that? That is not peace. We grew up not knowing the way of peace. We grew up not understanding that there is a way for peace. And that peace is Jesus Christ. That's why He came into the world. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. God wants us to have peace. Now God understands that there will not be peace where there are those who want no peace. But God is able to give us peace even when there are people who don't want us to have peace. Even when there's people that want to make war with us. Even when there's those who desire to destroy our bodies. God is able to give us peace. It's a supernatural peace. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. And it's a peace that we'll talk about in a minute. But I want you to notice here in Ephesians chapter 2. God wants to give us peace. Even though we don't know the way for peace, He's shown us the way. And that way is Jesus Christ. In chapter 2 and verse 1, He's speaking to people who have partaken of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe that that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and rose from the dead. They believe Jesus Christ is the Creator of all things and is the one who came to give them peace between Himself and them. How did He do it? In verse 1, "And you hath He quickened." He's made you alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And so without Christ, what are we? We're dead. Why are we dead? Because of our trespasses and sins. Jesus makes us alive. Verse 2. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Do you know who the prince of the power of the air is? That's the devil. That's Satan. That is the father of lies. That's the one I was talking about earlier who wants nothing but war on the earth. He wants nothing but war between people. If we walked according to the prince of the power of the air, did we have peace? Did we have peace with God? No, if we were walking according to the prince of the power of the air, we were at war with God. And so He says, "Wherein in time past," praise the Lord for the "wherein in time past." That's who we were before. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." By the way, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, you're not a child of God. You are in fact a child of the devil. You walk according to his ways. And you are not at peace with God. You are at war with God or enmity with God. But there is a way of peace. Jesus made that way of peace for you and for me. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past. So who was not at peace with God? Was it just the mass murderers? Is it just the wife beaters? Is it just the drunkards? Is it just the cheaters? Is it just the liars? Well, if we kept going, it would be just them, because guess what? It comes to us all. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, that's our God, who loves me and gave me the way of peace, and He loves you and has given you the way of peace. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so the way of peace is Jesus. That you believe on Him who died on the cross for your sins. For we as His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, unsaved, walking according to the prince of the power of the air, who are called uncircumcision, which is called circumcision in the flesh by hands. Now listen. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now I want you to listen to that last phrase. Having no hope and without God in the world. You see, without Christ, we have no God. We are at enmity with God. We're at war with God. We are on the side of the devil. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, who at one time were far off, are made near by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for He is our peace. You see, not only is Jesus the way of peace, He is our peace. To give the impression that Jesus is simply the way of peace, it gives us the impression that we could go through the door of Jesus and we can leave Him as nothing more than the door. But in fact, Jesus is not only the door, He's the path. And as long as we're on the path, we're on the path of peace. But Jesus Christ died on the cross to make peace between us and God. For He is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make of Himself of twain one new man. So making peace. And so, when there is war, there are two entities. One vying for what he wants, the other vying for what he wants. And they war with one another in hopes that they can overtake the other and get what they want. But imagine if the two had the same mind. Imagine if the two had the same heart. Now they're not working against each other, but they're working with one another. And when you called upon Christ as your Savior, He made of you not one at war with Him, but one working together with Him, in partnership with Him, at peace with Him. That's how we can be one with God. And that's what this verse is saying. We are made one with God. We are made, verse 19, fellow citizens of the household of God. And so, God is telling us. In verse 17, He says, and came and preached peace to you that are afar off. He says, He wants you to know the way of peace. If you're here today and you don't have peace with God, He wants you to know the way of peace, which is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins. He made the way of peace. And you can have peace with God. If you ask Jesus Christ to save you today, if you believe that He died on the cross for you and rose from the dead, every moment without peace in your life, every moment of sin and degradation, maybe you cursed God, maybe you use His name in vile swear words, maybe you've done all kinds of things that you know you never should have done that have taken away peace from you and taken away peace between you and God. God will make peace and make of two one person. He will make you and Himself one. In fact, He will come and live within you. And you will have the one, the God of peace. He is the way of peace. Turn to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. If you've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been given a very precious gift. You've been given Christ. He is the God of peace. And there is a continued peace. I want you to notice what God promises here in Isaiah 26. Verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Listen. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee." That is a daily walk with the God of peace. I want to ask you, Christian, do you have a daily walk with God? How do you know when your walk with God is suffering? Peace. Where there is a lack of peace, there is a lack of a relationship with the Lord. You say, but it's not me, it's my spouse. They're the ones that have to deal with this. It's them. It's not me, it's them. Notice what the Scripture says. "Thou will keep him," that's anybody, man or woman, "thou will keep him or her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee." What if your spouse is having a struggle in their relationship with the Lord? Can you be at peace with God and with your husband or wife? Yes. By going to the God of peace. He can give you peace where there should not be peace. Listen. When someone yells at me, when someone belittles me, when someone tries to steal from me something that belongs to me and is rightfully mine, my fleshly instinct is war. I will keep you from taking it from me. I will yell at you if you're going to yell at me. I will hurt you if you're going to hurt me. But that shows something. It shows that you don't have peace. Why? Because you don't trust God. You see, here's the thing. Everyone who does wrong to you, God knows. And He's capable of doing far more than you ever could. So where is there peace when somebody's yelling at you? Lord, would you help me? Would you take care of this? You know, if moms and dads, husbands and wives had this thought, when the husband yells at the wife when he shouldn't, by the way, guys, that's like every time, right? Yeah, let's be honest. It's every time. We shouldn't have done it. And it's true. If in the homes, the wife said, after their mind has been stayed upon God, "Lord, he shouldn't have done that. And I want to ream him through the coals, but you can take care of it. Better than me. Help my husband. Help my wife. I want there to be peace. We need peace in this home." Brother, I've seen God do that over and over and over again. Lord, help me. I need peace. God will keep him in perfect peace. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. You say, but I shouldn't be a walking mat for my spouse. They shouldn't be able to walk all over me. They shouldn't be able to trample me. I want to ask you this. As you fought and warred with your spouse, have you just not continued to be a trampling mat? They've just been one too? How about we trust in the Lord and let Him take care of what He alone can do? You say, but that's too hard. I can't do that. I want you to know, God has given you everything you need to be at peace. He's given you His precious Word. He's given you precious promises. There is nothing that you don't have as a Christian that He has not given you to be at peace, because He's given you Himself. What if you have a coworker that if you gave the gospel to him, he would go to his house after a Christmas party, get a machine gun, and come and shoot you? Which is very likely what happened in San Bernardino. Because the report is that a Messianic Jew was having a conversation with him. Now, Messianic Jews, they have many things wrong, but they believe Jesus is the Savior. And the report is that they were talking. Next thing you know, the guy goes and gets a gun. What if that happens to you? I want you to know something. You'll be in the place of peace where there's no taking it away ever again. Because all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are saved. And they go to heaven. And I want you to know, if these reports are true and this is what happened, I have no doubt that there are dozens of people today saying, maybe Jesus really is the way. Maybe He really is the truth. Look at what happened to that man. He died for Christ. May God help us to have peace. It is the most important thing we can have. And we desperately need it where there is no peace around us. Amen. This week, and it'll happen for all of us, something's going to happen to try to take the peace away. It could be your children. It could be your spouse. It could be something going on at work. Would you go to the God of peace and have Him do something rather than you take it in your own hands and fight more? May God help us to learn to walk with God, and so much the more as we see the day of Christ approaching, and it is coming quick. The day where we're out of here. To never step foot upon this dead world which hates God. We're going up, brethren. Until then, let's be at peace because we love God and we're close to Him. Amen.